time and energy is a big one at Crossroads. We live just far enough from D.C. and Baltimore that you can get jobs down there and commute. And apparently the divorce rate in Frederick is like 10% worse than the rest of the state of Maryland. I think it's because people move there to raise their families because they think they can get more house and everything, and they end up with these hour and a half commutes one direction.
Amen.
It's really hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's crazy. We've had a lot of people in the last couple of years that have lost jobs, and that's been a big issue for the congregation, just for different people just trying to keep up. Last couple of years, we had a lot of people that were sick, cancer, a couple different people, and other situations that it was just, you know, we were just trying to care for one another, let alone try to make any headway, you know, just be there for each other and be praying for each other and aware of, you know, how we can bear each other's burdens and that sort of thing. I feel like there's a generational shift thing that has happened that I think affects church life for us, and I feel like it might be a broad-based thing. Solomon, if it was Solomon in Proverbs chapter 30, says, there's a generation whose teeth are like knives to devour the poor from off the earth. And then it says there's a generation who hates its mother and does not love its father. Then it says there's a generation who who's pure in its own eyes but has not been cleansed from its filth. And then it says there's a generation whose eyes are lifted up. Oh, how lofty are their eyelids. And I get the sense that if Christ is the plumb line, that the problem is not that we're going back and forth, but there's a swing around the plumb line. It's a 360-degree swing. And so I think, Dad, your generation was a generation that did not love its father and did not love its mother, that was hateful towards its mother. And I think the reason for that is the previous generation had a reputation for not caring about the poor and just being all about itself. But your generation, even though you didn't do this to me, raised guys that were known as latchkey kids. And the X generation, you know, we fought for the right to party, you know, and we told teachers, hey, teachers, leave us kids alone. You know, we were an angry generation, had a reputation, you know, for being an angry generation. And as a result, we put off having kids for a long time. And when we had kids, we said, we're not doing it like our parents did. We're going to do it right. And we all became helicopter parents, which means that we have to go to every basketball game, every soccer game. And it's created a situation where it's a time issue. We're running into all these different things because we're not going to do what our parents did to us. And we're raising a generation that I think is the next one. We're pure in our own eyes, but we haven't been cleansed from our filth. But we're raising, I think, a generation that has been told they're great and they're awesome. And so their eyes are lifted up. Oh, how lofty are their eyelids. And the cycle continues, right? There's this thing that's going on, and I see it. And you're addressing some of that where people are taking care of their own home instead of rebuilding the churches. And we were just at a conference down in North Carolina, and several of our generation said the same thing, that people don't seem to care about the charismatic and speaking in tongues anymore. You know, we're just lucky to get them out to church. It's almost like they just don't even care about all these things that were fought for by you guys in the previous generation. I feel like there's a lot of woundedness. Just talking with a guy the other day who came into Christ and got saved out of, you know, a real kind of communist orientation in his background, and he just got into churches and he got hurt in churches. And I feel like in our church that there's a whole number of people that have come out of churches. And that's where the problem is that they came out of churches, and they're hurt, and they're broken, and bad authority, and they were made promises about this and that, you know, in the name of different things, and as a result, there's baggage, and they hear me preach about great things that God can do, and there's a little bit of a cynicism, and just like, yeah, okay, you know, and I think it's real, I think it's true about my generation that we're like, whatever. And it's common, and I feel like we face that in encouraging people to be a part of the body of Christ and to care for one another. You know, I ask myself the question, if we're doing really good jobs as families, is it true that we feel like we don't need the church as much? But is it true that we were supposed to do a really good job as families? You know, and yet Christ said that he came to bring a sword and mother against a father and mother against a son and brother against brother. There's just a balance there that I feel like my generation is really working hard to try to understand, sincerely trying to work hard to understand it. But it affects us and how we go about the church. You know, they're not people that are just saying whatever with God. They're people that are trying to do what's right, and they had brokenness from their background, and they're trying to move forward and get things right. You know, things like different personalities is always an issue. I feel like one guy, you know, he's a hammer. He wants to hammer everything. The other guy's a, you know, a screwdriver. Thinks everything needs to be screwed. And the result is that, you know, there's just a constant need for helping people to value one another again and to work together instead of just feeling like, you know, they're going to take care of things themselves. You know, in Frederick, there's a lot of churches that work together on some big things, and it's really unique and pretty special. But you know, the African American versus you know, white part of the church kind of a thing is still an issue that is very difficult. We got white churches, we got African American churches, we got some churches that are really trying hard to bridge those gaps, and at the end of the day, they're struggling to know how to do so. And it's an issue that still faces the church. Ferguson and you know, these guys that just the recent issues that have been racial issues in the news are really significant. And I see that as an issue in the church that is still something that keeps us from what God wants us to be. I put down Leviathan and Behemoth. I just feel like the Behemoth is really big these days. The beast, the spirit of the age is really big. You know, when we go out on the streets to share the gospel, people have answers to throw in our faces that have been drilled into them, you know, wherever, through high school or through college or whatever, you know, it's just a really big deal. Three guys just the other day were out in Frederick trying to get signatures for homosexual rights in the school system, and we endeavored to engage them in conversation about Christ, and there was just nothing. There was just walls and brokenness. And it's common. There's been several conversations as we've been looking for opportunities to witness on the streets of Frederick, where once that they bring the issue up, and once the issue comes up, it's like they're moving away from you, and so there's a lot of hardness, I think, in the culture at large that has been nurtured by you know, the spirit of the age, that I think is a really significant thing. And so just raising the gospel with neighbors and with friends, I don't know, it feels, maybe it's always been so hard, but it certainly feels like you're setting yourself up to get rejected a lot quicker, and so I think that's an issue. Boldness in the midst of Leviathan and Behemoth is an issue in our generation. now with the internet, everybody searches out the background of the theology of what you're teaching, and has the ability to tell you what the most verbose people on the internet are saying about what you believe and how you believe it. And so I've run into a scenario just for us as a congregation that there's some different theologies. And so people don't just get their teaching on the Bible from one place, but they go out there and they whatever the issue is, they just Google it. You know, and the first top five guys, it doesn't matter if they come from a fivefold New Testament background, they're feeding you Calvinism next time that they see you, or whatever it is that of the people that have been talking about it. And it's just, again, it's an issue that I've been running into regularly with guys that are thinkers and that are paying attention, that my voice isn't quite as central, because there's access to so many voices that I think is an issue. I also wanted to just say woundedness, past families, past friends. We talked about past churches, but you know, there's just a lot of people that have been hurt growing up, and when it comes time to try to be church, there's just a lot of brokenness in the past, and learning to get past that on top of other issues with our generation and such, it's particularly difficult, it seems, to love one another and to be the body and to be vulnerable and to pray and to share with one another and bear each other's burdens. So I think that's a common thing. And then I was just going to say different backgrounds. Different maturity levels. You know, maybe you call it like the parable of the soils. As a pastor, I'm always navigating one guy is at one level of responsiveness to the things of the Lord, and this person's at a different level, and this guy's really responsive, and this guy, you know, has a lot of thorns in the way that they interact with you. And so you just, you know, you're constantly working in and out of that. And when people come out of brokenness, I don't know why, but our congregation, I think, has done a good job of, again, attracting a lot of people that have just really been hurt in previous relationships. And that's a good thing, but it means that there's a measure of baggage that different people bring with them that isn't as easily moved over, you know. Of course, the grass is always greener, so we think the other church gets all the guys that are easier, and it's probably just not the case. It's probably just as difficult with them as it is for anybody else. So those are some of the things that I've just been seeing.